Welcome to Pour It Out. I'm Haley.
And I'm Brandy. Thanks for being with us this week, y'all.
For episode four.
Episode four. Holy cow. Yeah. Time is just going by. It's been so much fun, though. Thank you guys for tuning in week after week and listening to us.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun when we're recording. So we love that you guys love listening to us as much as we love doing it. So, yeah. Well, what are we pouring it out with?
So this week we decided to start trying a few different options, like fall options, as that's just around the corner. And we're trying to be a little healthy, not just go for like the sugar-filled Starbucks every time. So we have pulled some healthier options for coffee. And so this week we're drinking a little latte.
Yeah, this week. So we are currently trying the Califia Farms limited edition. It is a caramel apple almond latte, and it's just a pour and go. It's already got the coffee in it, already got the creamer in it, and it's caramel apple flavored.
Just add ice.
But it's plant-based and 40% less sugar. Califia Farms is one of my favorite creamer brands. So from a fall perspective, they have that one. And then they also have a limited edition pre-made pumpkin spice cold brew that's getting rolled out. Yep. And then they also have, just as a creamer that doesn't have coffee already in it, they're coming out with a caramel apple crumble. Ooh. And a cinnamon roll.
Oh, that sounds so good. I gotta tell y'all, so I was a little hesitant about the caramel apple.
Yeah,
latte.
It's a little different.
It's just, I was like, not something I would think to put in my coffee, but we have it here in studio and are trying it tonight, and it's good. It's very crisp. It's different.
It's different, which I feel like is good for the Florida heat, because like I love pumpkin spice and I love fall, but when it's still 100 degrees in Florida, like I don't necessarily want pumpkin spice.
Yeah. And like the first sip, I was kind of like, oh wow, this is different. And then it grows on you. So
yeah, it's good.
I'm a fan.
Sprandy, what, I know you're a huge nut pod fan, so what do they have for fall season?
So they've got a pumpkin spice almond coconut creamer coming out, and then they also have a cinnamon swirl almond coconut creamer. That one I have tried. It's not cold like the one that you can get just in the aisle, and the cinnamon swirl is really, really good, and it kind of gives you a little taste of fall without being too much.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I feel like that's an important distinction to make about nut pods, is like what you can buy on the aisle that's room temperature, mm-hmm. and that is temperature controlled. Like the flavors are different than what you can buy in the refrigerated section.
Yeah.
Like you've got a little bit more options.
Yes. Yeah.
More variety. Yeah, and then Elmhurst is also one of my favorite creamer flavors. It froths really well.
Very important.
For the most part, Brandy and I both try to stay away from oat milk because it's very inflammatory. But Elmhurst does a really good job of like mixing some different nuts. So like they have one coming out for fall that's oat plus cashew. And it's apple pie spiced, which I'm really intrigued about.
Yeah.
And then they also have a pumpkin spice and then a walnut maple.
Oh, that'll throw you for a loop.
Yeah, I'm pumped about that one. So if y'all find any of these in stores and you try them, let us know. Because obviously they roll things out in different cities and different stores
at
different times. So if y'all come across any of these and you try them, we're going to tag everything in the show notes so that y'all can see them too. So let us know if you find them and try them.
Yeah. We kind of went hunting this weekend for some here in Tallahassee. And I guess since it's still, 112 degrees outside, they haven't quite released that fall.
Yeah. Which is why we were also really pumped to find these Califia Farms cold brew ones, because we're not quite ready for hot fall coffee yet.
Yes. Yeah. I will say, though, after doing a little shopping this weekend, the fall decor is out in full force. Ooh. And everyone was shopping for that, I think, just waiting for the weather to turn, honestly. So this week, we kind of want to talk a little bit about what our fall decor looks like, how we do it. I feel like it's a time of year where you can make your home very cozy, and it's, I know, Haley, that you like really look forward to fall. It's your favorite season.
My favorite.
So what are some different things that you do Like, when do you start decorating?
It's such a debate for me because, honestly, if I could start now, it's like mid-August, and if I could start now, I would. But again, kind of along the, you know, the same line as the coffee, like, it's literally 100 degrees outside. August, to me, is the worst month in Florida. Yeah. But I'm very, like, I get very on the fence every year because football starts at the end of August. And to me, when football starts, it's fall.
Football equals fall.
But it is 100 degrees outside. So, like, I want my house to look like fall and smell like fall. But I walk outside and am drenched in sweat.
It's the debate of, like, do you just turn your AC down and pretend?
Do you manifest the vibes? Like, if your pocketbook can afford to manifest the vibes and you have like a $300 utility bill because you jack your AC down.
That's true.
Good for you.
Or do you just wait it out until you get that first little?
Well, if we waited it out, it would be like November. No, typically I wait until around the first football game to start decorating. Usually around Labor Day weekend. Yeah, I would say is when I'm like, it's like when I really start, because I love my fall decors, so I like to have it out for a long time and be able to enjoy it. But I will say that I stick with pretty neutral decor so that
it blends really well.
That's a good way to put it. It kind of blends and flows with the house. So it's not super in your face, but it's cozy.
Yeah. You don't have pumpkins just splashed everywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, I have pumpkins, but they're like the raffia neutral pumpkins.
Yeah.
So what about you?
So I'm a little bit different, probably a little different from the norm, is I tend to wait till very end of September, beginning of October, and I decorate for fall. And that, honestly, one, September is just a really crazy month for us pretty much every year, and so I just run out of time. But I also kind of incorporate, like, I kind of get rid of some of my summer decor around mid-September, and I start, like, I like a slow mover. Like, I don't do it all at one time.
I'm just like, get it all out, put it out, let's go.
I like will bring out a fall candle one day, and then by like October I'm like, okay, I can pull out like my containers.
Oh, I'm not even gonna pretend. For my birthday, one of my friends gave me a cinnamon candle, but it's, to be fair, it's cinnamon roll. Okay. So it's not like quite fall, but it was like fall enough, and it smelled so good that I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and burn it. I'm just going for it.
Yeah. How was it?
Oh, it's great.
Because I will say that's one of my favorite things about fall. I love candles, but in the summer, I just don't burn them near as often because it's just hot. I don't know. Yeah. It's just not. But to me, like, the start of fall is when I want a candle, like, every evening, every afternoon.
Yeah.
So, and all of those, like, fall scents are just my favorite.
I'm a candle burner pretty much all the time, but I'm very scent specific for seasons.
Yeah.
So, like, I keep one going all the time, but in the summer it has to be, like, some sort of, like, tropical scent or fruit scent or something. I grew up, my mom always keeps candles burning, like, religiously. And so grew up in a household that, like, had candles burning all the time, but she's the same way. Like, they're very, like, scent specific for different seasons. So that's where I get it from. But
yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about fall decor and, like, how you transition, like, from summer to fall. And, like, do you go buy new decor every year? Do you reuse? Like, let's talk a little bit about your process and what you like to do.
So this also comes from my mom. I tend to reuse the same stuff every year because it's, like, that nostalgia that comes out. Now, I will go and I will either pick out, like, a few new things or, like, kind of switch out, like, faux florals. I like to use dried florals a lot. So a lot of times those will get, like, okay, I need to replace those or get something new.
They'll last for at least a few seasons.
Yeah. But most of my stuff is, like, reuse. I have some stuff from, like, my grandma's that, like, I hold on to and put out every year. But it's also, like, a collection too. Yeah. So you kind of add to it some every year. But I don't find myself, like, wow, I'm getting rid of this. You know, I just hold on to it and incorporate it in different places.
Yeah. So. No, I agree. I kind of do the same thing. It's like I will go buy my, like, staple pieces and just kind of work around that every season. And, like, I will add to it, same. But it's like, oh, you know, I follow some influencer who posted like some new fall decor from Target. Yeah. So I may go spend, you know, $20 or $30 and add to it, but I'm the same way. I just add to the collection and just reuse every year. And again, that's why I try really hard to focus on neutral stuff so that if I have changed up a color concept or something in my house, like I'm not having to go rebuy new decor every yeah. year. It's like pretty neutral so that it just adds to what I already have going on in my house year round.
It's funny though, because I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, we have seen such a shift in the past couple of years from like cooler tones being yes. very on trend to now like warmer tones.
Warmer and moody. Yeah.
So it is fun to kind of incorporate some of those like rust colors yeah. and just things like that, that are a little bit different that I didn't have.
Yes.
But I like to still have some of my cooler stuff in there too. And I feel like it all kind of goes together.
Yeah. So. I'm excited this year. Cause you know, I've painted downstairs in my living room, like the main accent wall. I just yeah. painted like a moody, like dark blue gray color to give it a little pop of color. So it's going to be my first season that I've been able to decorate around it, which yeah. I'm really excited to do. So yeah. And we'll do, we're starting to get like our TikTok and our Instagram reels and stuff up and running. So we'll start here and there, like videoing like some of our decor process and kind of what all of that looks like for us as we yeah. kind of move into the season.
Yeah, because we do, I feel like, get creative. We're inspired each year to do things a little bit different.
Yeah.
And, like, we kind of plan and talk about it between each other and just, like, what our ideas are and stuff.
Yeah. No, that's true. I think we're really good about being like, hey, I've had, you know, this for years, but I want to do a little something different with it and give it a fresh look. What should I do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll post some ideas as...
What
As
we come
get
up
there.
With.
Yeah.
Haley's will be earlier. Mine will be later.
Oh, yeah. Y'all are going to start seeing content from me in the next, like, I don't know, like probably 3 weeks.
What about outside for you? Like, what do you – because it's just such a beautiful time of year once it cools down a little bit to be outside.
Yeah.
And I feel like both me and you really soak that in. You know, we, like, mm-hmm. enjoy our coffee on the porch when we wake up and then, like – bonfires at night or just sitting outside going for a walk. So what are some things that you incorporate your decor into the outside area?
Yeah. So I have a really small front porch area. It's really just like a 6x6 concrete pad, but I fenced it off with black wrought iron fence. And I've got like a little table and chair out there. And I like to switch out my wreaths on my front door. So my front door, this olive sage green has been one of my favorite colors for the last several years. So my front door is a really pretty sage color. So I have a really pretty fall wreath that pulls that color in. So I'll put that out there. I will typically switch out my pillow on my front porch chair with like some sort of fall themed pillow. It's still all very neutral. Like it still will like tie in the color of the front door. Like I make sure that like everything from outside to inside all kind of flows cohesively. But one of the things that I can't figure out, and I buy one every year. Every year I buy one and I put it on my front porch and I'm like, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year that it survives. And it is mums. I love mums Aww. So much. And I will get online and I'll look at all of these fall pictures that all of these influencers post of their like big, beautiful yeah. mums that like, and I just feel like a mum like really is like also the start of fall. But again, we live in Florida in this heat and I cannot keep one. I cannot keep one alive to save my life. So you are the plant lady. What do I need to do to keep one alive this year? Help me out.
I'm sometimes the plant lady. It depends on the plant and the year. I love mums as well. I do enjoy being outside and gardening. I don't have necessarily a green thumb, but it's like a sage thumb kind of like,
okay,
you know, like it's hit or miss with me, but I can keep stuff alive for the most part. I also get mums every year. One, I feel like it's where you buy them and when you buy them. So I buy them fully closed, like before they have opened at all.
Because that's a hot tip.
What happens is if you buy them in the store and they're like full and pretty and fully bloomed, those blooms are you bought it at its peak. It's not getting any better than that.
See, I'm learning already. I go and I'm like, I see really pretty full ones. I'm like, that's like, it. That's the prettiest one I've ever seen.
So kind of, if you get the ones that are, that look healthy, that are nice, green, full, but are fully closed, then, and just water them, keep them on your porch, but then they'll kind of bless you with like some big, pretty blooms in the coming weeks, because they haven't even started to reach their peak yet.
So what, from a watering perspective, because I feel like I have a really bad habit of doing this. I feel like I overwater because I think about it being so hot outside.
Yeah.
So I have a bad tendency to overwater. So what would you say was the sweet spot for?
So this, again, not necessarily like how often you water. I mean, you want to water them often because they're just a potted plant and they run out of water pretty quickly, but also when and how you water. So if you water them in the heat of the day when the sun is still out and you water the top of the plant and get all the leaves wet, then they're going to burn in the sun. So you want to water at the very bottom, you know, like where the closest to the soil, and preferably either earlier in the morning or later at night, so that then it has overnight to kind of like soak all that up. I also buy one of those, like I have like the raffia. It's like a pot, but it doesn't have any drainage in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll set that, like set my mums in there, especially when it's still really hot. And I won't put a lot of water in the bottom, but I'll put some. So it kind of soaks it up and gives it something throughout the day. So it's not just out there in the drought. Okay.
All right, guys, you hear this. So I'm going to buy a mum this year, and we're going to see it, based on Brandy's recommendations, if I can keep the dang thing alive.
Yeah.
All right. So what are some of your other like outside decor and like outside plants that you like to incorporate?
I love mums. I love planting like in my flower bed, like marigolds, anything that kind of sets that like those fall turn, that fall mood. We also, last year we put in a fire pit area in the backyard, and this will be our first fall having that fire pit installed. And I'm so excited about it.
I'm excited too.
Just, it's something that we've been like dreaming about for a long time. And I feel like it's going to be
very well done.
Really fun to sit out there and enjoy those nights. And so, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to that. And I'm trying to get inspiration, too, on, like, how to decorate that patio. Like, it's got some containers, plant containers that I'll switch out for, like, right now it's got very brightly colored summer things. Again, I kind of wait a little bit longer, too, because if you put a bunch of fall stuff in there right now, it's just going to die really quickly. So, kind of toward mid to late September, I'll start looking at some fall plants and kind of incorporate some of that.
Yeah. So. And we would love to hear from you guys too. Like what, if you live in Florida, what you do, what your tips are. If you don't live in Florida and you're blessed to be able to experience fall a little bit earlier.
When fall's actually happening,
what you guys do and what, like how you decorate, how you incorporate that outside, when you start decorating. So let us know.
The last little part of this decor segment is we're going to end it with a hot topic that's hotly debated. Haley's Sophie's choice, honestly. So we all love fall decor, but we also, in the midst of fall, we have Halloween, which is just like a separate.
I think it might be my favorite holiday.
And it's also just like a separate decor from your fall. So what is the solution?
See, I don't know, because I love Halloween with everything in me. I talked about this in our first episode. I live in a very, very like young family neighborhood. All of the houses are really close together and it's super walkable friendly. So Halloween is a huge deal in our neighborhood.
They go all out.
Everybody goes all out. Everybody decorates. Everybody walks around. Halloween goes on until like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. Like it's super fun. But okay, so this is a really big debate for me too, because I actually don't really own any Halloween decor for this exact reason. Oh. And I did a little bit of decorating last year. in the sense that, like, I hosted a Halloween party last year. So I did a big chili bar. So people in the neighborhood that were out walking around, like, I just kept my front door open and, like, people could come in and get food.
Yeah.
And just kind of keep walking around. So I set up, like, the day of, like, I had some Halloween balloons and I, like, decorated my bar cart a little bit with some Halloween decor. Like, I had, like, a boozy bar. Ooh. And I had, like, just a couple of things, but I didn't go out and buy any decor. Because the other thing, too, I mean, for this exact reason, first of all, Halloween decor is expensive. Like, no matter what you do, it's expensive. And I have that same dilemma. Like, I don't want it up for only a week, but I don't want to decorate so far out. So I don't know. What do you think? Because this is a very big dilemma for me.
Well, I used to feel like Halloween decor wasn't really a thing besides just like outside you set up like some ghost or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But now I'm starting to see very like well done Halloween decor,
like on classier Halloween decor. Yes.
Like last year I saw, and I bought them off Amazon. They were like $6 for like a pack of 200 or something. And they're those paper bags.
Yes. I have them in my Amazon cart right now because I'm going to get some.
And I did like a bat, you know, the, what do you call that? Like a wind
sure
or something, like cascading like up and down my I had built-ins and then a fireplace, so I did them like along there and I loved it. It was so fun. And then like little ghosts and stuff. I don't know, I'm just like finding myself pulled toward that more. I think because the decor itself is getting better.
Yes. And I think, do you think that it's changed too? Because like last year was your first Halloween being a mom.
Probably,
so do you feel like it's changing more too because you have a kid now?
Oh, absolutely. Like now I get excited about every holiday. I mean, I want to celebrate, you know, like Flag Day and Columbus Day, like, you know, a random Tuesday that's National Donut Day. Like, let's just find a reason to like
celebrate,
make it a fun day.
Celebrate all the things. I think that social media has helped a lot with like changing that mindset of Halloween decor. I know that on TikTok and some Instagram reels, I have saved some like really inexpensive, almost DIY Halloween stuff that I really want to try this year. So I honestly think, and maybe because I typically set my fall decor up so early that really by the time October rolls around, or at least mid-October, I feel like I've gotten my worth out of my fall decor.
Yeah.
So what I've thought about doing this year is kind of slowly over the next like several weeks, just little by little, like each paycheck, like buying, hey, like I want to buy the bats, or I want to buy, I also in my Amazon cart, I found witches hats that are propelled with fishing wire.
Oh, cool.
And you hang them from your ceiling, which I really want to try to incorporate like outside on my walkway. So just little things here and there, like each paycheck, so that you're not breaking the bank,
right?
But you're getting some like cute stuff that would add some a little pizzazz to your house. So I'm kind of thinking like at the beginning of October, I may decorate for Halloween. And then once Halloween is over, like put my fall decor back out, because I leave my fall decor out through Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then take my fall decor down and then put Christmas up.
Yeah.
So I will say last year I decorated for fall early. And so by the time Christmas rolled around, as much as I love my fall decor, I was like, oh my gosh, this stuff's been out for like 3 months.
Yeah. The longevity of
it. Is, so I do feel like Halloween decor will break some of that monotony up. So I think I am going to do a little bit more this year than usual.
Yeah.
What about you?
Y'all posted. Yeah. I think we're going to try to do some outside Halloween decor. Again, TBD, because we have a lot going on. But I would love to try. I saw this thing about you put some sort of paper that reflects in the dark, like glowing paper. And it, you put it on a tree and it like looks like the trees are like,
oh, that's cool.
And I was like, oh, that's so cool. And that's something easy that's not like,
yeah.
So maybe we'll try that.
Yeah.
But I would like to try something outside.
Yeah. One of the things I think I'm going to do this year too, and last year I was just too late in the game. Like I tried to buy them Halloween week, is I want to do, so around my front door, I have three hooks up top so I can hang like Christmas garland and stuff around the door.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to do purple and orange lights this year for yeah. Halloween,
yeah.
Especially for like all the kids that go door to door in our neighborhood. And so, but I waited until Halloween week last year to try to go get some. And of course, everything was sold out.
Yeah.
So that is another thing I want to try to incorporate this year.
Yeah. So if you guys have fall decor or fall ideas, let us know, because we're going to start, you know, thinking about
it. Let us know what you think about Halloween, if you're a Halloween decorator, if you're not, when you start decorating, when you think it's appropriate.
Yeah, all the things.
All the things.
So as this new season kind of enters into, we have a lot of other things besides just fall and decor and Halloween. It's also just a really busy time of year. Back to school, football games. It just seems like then it just segues into the holidays and you're just like, really,
where did the year go?
Yeah, where did the year go? The rest of the year goes by so quickly. So there's some things about fall that, even as much as I love it, I, like, for instance, I hate the time change. I hate when it, like, gets dark early. I feel like a lot of your day is gone. There's, like, seasonal depression, where you're just sad that it's dark or not as light for as long. I really have to work on my routine during that time for my health and still getting, like, exercise in, getting outside, feeling good, all that stuff, just because at that time of year, it is a lot harder. You're also eating heavier foods.
Yeah.
Your schedule is very busy. So some of the things that you maybe prioritized at the beginning of this year, if they were like your New Year's resolution, or then you went into the summer and you were like really sticking to it, I just feel like fall is such a hard time to stick to like a regimen. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. Fall is definitely a really busy time. We're going to get into this a little bit later in the episode, but especially with it being football season, not only does like does everybody have plans because fall is just a busy time of year, but then you add in like living in a college football town. I feel like everybody's weekends are just slammed from the start of football season. And mm-hmm. I mean, until really the end of the year, because yeah, to your point, then it's holidays and it's just mayhem.
Wedding season. And everyone's trying to plan around football games. So
God bless. Just
baby showers.
You did this and I love a fall wedding, but like, just don't do it during football season. It's just so hard.
We did it, and we had the game on at the wedding.
I mean, honestly, watched the FSU Miami game during the wedding, and it was great. It is so busy that you have to be very intentional with your time in the fall,
mm-hmm.
and like setting a schedule and setting a routine is very important during the fall. It's very easy, like, not prioritize certain things and not get enough sleep and like not feel like you are being like the healthiest version of yourself. So really, I feel like meal prepping is really helpful during the fall. Menu planning, like really whatever you can plan out ahead of time, whether it's like your outfits for the week or your meals for the week or kids' extracurricular activities. Like, I feel like just sticking to a schedule is just really important and will help you be a lot more productive.
When a schedule can simplify things, you know, it can simplify your weeks, because then you just don't have to think about that thing that you've already planned for.
Gosh, I mean, I know Jennings isn't like school age yet, but even from like an organizational, like, calendar perspective, what have you found like as a family that the most beneficial things for y'all are?
I try to sit down and plan out when I need to run my errands, grocery shopping, things of that nature. Write out, okay, what do I need for this week? What do I need to order? I really have tried to implement like Amazon, where you can just subscribe.
Yep, subscribe and save.
Especially for some of his things, like his laundry detergent, his dish soap, you know, just like baby items that you're using constantly. I try to keep those on subscribe so that it just shows up at my door and I don't have to think about it. A lot goes into, I feel like with fall, there's so many more activities you can do with kids. Like, there's fall festivals and pumpkin carving. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So there's always something to do, which is awesome. And it's a great time of year to be outside. It just requires a little bit more planning, I think.
Yeah.
And then to like picking those days of the week where you're like, okay, this is when I'm going to delegate to this, or this is when we can stick to a schedule.
Yeah.
And then on the weekends, you know, we're going to go drive to this pumpkin festival and it's going to be a day that's not on schedule.
Yeah.
Especially for little ones that still have like nap schedules and all that stuff that you have to think about. We've also tried to sit down and plan out our meals for the week and plan out when we do our laundry, which has also been very helpful for us. So.
Yeah, that's great. Something that has been really beneficial for me too over the last few years is I love to utilize my crock pot during the fall. And because there's nothing that I love more than coming into the house after work during the fall and my house smelling like a home cooked meal.
Yeah.
Even as easy as a crock pot is, it still takes some prep. I will plan out for the week, like, okay, this is what I want to cook in the crock pot, which again, for me living alone, like that'll feed me for the whole week.
Yeah.
I will get up, like I'll prep it the night before and then I'll get up early at like 5:30 in the morning or whatever and throw all of those ingredients in the crock pot and have it started by the time I leave for work. And I leave early. I leave at 7. So it does require getting up a little bit earlier, but like that 10 extra minutes to ensure that dinner's cooked and you've got a healthy meal for the week has been a big game changer for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Something else too that I just thought of with little ones is with the time change, it gets dark a lot earlier. And I don't know about you guys, but I depend on being outside that last little bit of like that wake window before bedtime of just like getting our energy out, going for a walk, getting some fresh air, no matter what our day has looked like. So that part is really tricky to restructure because it's dark at 6 o'clock and you still have some time before bedtime and you're just a little like, well, what do you do?
Yeah. So let us know how that goes.
Yes. But that is, especially as he gets older, I'm finding, oh, wow. Yeah. That is going to be a challenge, especially because we just spend so much of our time outside in that time frame. Yeah. So that'll require.
So for any of you that have older kids that have any advice for Brandy on
that doesn't include like screen time or just, you know, just what do you do with your kids when it's dark and you still got an hour before bedtime?
The last thing that we have for this episode, we touched on it a little bit. We're rolling into football season, which means in a college football town, that means a lot of tailgates, a lot of football parties,
a lot of calories,
a lot of calories. So Brandy and I both are pretty health conscious. We're pretty clean eaters. And that's just something that we're both extremely passionate about. We kind of started talking and thinking through what it's like to go to a football party or go to a tailgate when you are a cleaner eater. Mm-hmm. And we're in the South. The South's known for good food, but it's not known for healthy food.
Right.
So going to these football parties and going to these tailgates, and there's all of this great food, but none of it is necessarily along the lines of like how we would normally eat. So we started kind of talking through an idea of doing a football tailgate series. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of compiled a list of recipe ideas that have healthier substitutions. And so throughout football season this year, we're going to start posting some reels on TikTok and Instagram of just whipping up these really quick, healthy recipes with some healthier substitutions with some of our favorite brands.
And a lot of them are not complicated.
They're
straightforward. They don't require a ton of ingredients, which also nowadays cuts down on the cost.
Yes.
So
yeah, we recognize too that a lot of healthy options can also be very cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. We tried really hard to focus on things that like you could just really easily like whip up and take to a tailgate, or if you're hosting, have a football party and it's like stuff that you would normally do, but like, hey, we're going to sub Greek yogurt instead of mayonnaise. Like just easy things that like at the end of the day still make a really big difference.
Yeah. And still taste good.
So we're just going to, like I said, and I'm also going to post all of these recipe ideas in the show notes and then each football game, like make one of them so you guys can see like what it looks like. But just for like a few examples, if I was hosting, let's say it was a noon game.
Yeah.
And we want to host a brunch tailgate or a brunch watch party.
Because also those that aren't super familiar with college football, there's multiple times on a Saturday that a game can be. So you can have a noon game, you can have an afternoon game, or you can have a late night game. So
really the times range, like you've got a 12 o'clock slot, a 3:30 slot, or like a 7:30 or 8 o'clock slot.
And so we've kind of given you guys some options for all those scenarios.
Really themed. Cause like the tailgate that I go to, it's really themed. So like it's either a brunch theme or it's like an appetizer theme for like midday, or at nighttime, it's really more like dinner based.
Right.
Okay. So let's say it was a noon game and we were doing like a breakfast theme. You could do a Greek yogurt parfait bar. Costco has, Kirkland brand has a really good Greek yogurt. Or there's a brand that I love called Ratio, and there's a keto friendly vanilla yogurt. If you are trying to beef up your protein, it's got 17 grams of protein in it and only 2 grams of sugar, which is great. Then Purely Elizabeth granola is one of our all-time favorite granola brands. And then Orchard Pond. You can get local honey. You can support local. It's organic and all natural. So we love Orchard Pond.
Yeah.
Some ideas for appetizers. Okay. Buffalo chicken dip. Huge college football go-to, huge appetizer, not necessarily the healthiest. So some of my hacks would be, so Costco, love Costco. They have prepackaged, already shredded rotisserie chicken that has no skin on it. So it's just straight meat. I would grab a pack of that. It's something I like to keep in the freezer anyway. So I would grab a pack of that. I would grab their brand of plain Greek yogurt, and I would get the 2-pack of Primal Kitchen buffalo sauce, mix it all together, and then do a side of veggies. And maybe the brand is Snack Factory, and they have a gluten-free pretzel chip that I love.
Oh, nice. And see, honestly, that's probably cheaper than buying buffalo chicken dip in store that's already like pre-made, full of additive. And so I think that's a really great option because it's the same thing. It's just a lot healthier.
Yeah, choice. It's just a lot healthier. Something that's a crowd pleaser for dinner, if you're feeding like a big crowd, if you're hosting a party, crock-potted chili is always a really, really big crowd pleaser.
Yes.
But you can make really simple substitutions. So I would do no salt added canned beans. Try to stick to low sodium or no salt added. I would do organic chili seasoning. So Simply Organic brand has a really good chili seasoning, but it's all organic, GMO, any of that. And then you could just do, you know, simple topping. So it's healthier substitutions like that that we really want to focus on that still gives you what you want and still gives you a really good menu for these events that you're going to, but a little bit on the healthier side.
Yeah. And part of what, you know, when we're talking about healthy, it's not just fat intake and caloric intake as well. But also, you know, since having a kid, I've started paying more attention to the ingredients that are in things, and how once you start doing some research and reading labels, you realize just how many additives you're putting in your body. And so a lot of these options are simple. They're very like substantial in the ingredient list.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a big deal when I'm looking at things to feed my child.
Yeah. And really when you're learning how to read labels, first of all, if you can't pronounce it, it's probably not good for you.
Yeah.
And on the label front, like some of our favorite brands that we've been using for years, like Primal Kitchen, like Simply Elizabeth, Siete is another one of our favorite brands. The ingredient list is very minimal. So that's also something to look for. Like if you can't pronounce it, it's not good for you. But it's also, if the ingredients are very minimal, 9 times out of 10, it's pretty clean ingredients. It's
probably pretty good for you. Yeah.
You know, we've talked a little bit about, especially in the first episode, that we have been really into mocktails lately, that we've been cutting back. A lot of people we know have been cutting back. We have a lot of pregnant friends right now.
Yeah.
So we also recognize not only is it hard to go to a tailgate or a party if you're like a little bit of a cleaner eater, it's also a little bit challenging to go if you're not drinking or if you're sober or, you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's never easy to be surrounded by people that are drinking, especially drinking heavily like they do, you know, for college football. So we've also compiled a list of non-alcoholic game day options.
While you may not be drinking, you still want to
You still want to feel included.
Yeah, and have something in your hand besides a bottle of water.
So we've compiled a list, and these are things, like, we really tried to focus this list on things that were easy to grab and go to. Mm-hmm. So, like, nothing that was like, oh, you've got to get the blender out.
Required
you've got to make it. Yeah, nothing that requires a lot of prep. So the first thing to go along with the brunch idea is you can still do a mimosa bar, but you can do it toast. Non-alcoholic champagne is really big right now. I know a lot of people that drink it. I've also seen a lot of influencers talk the brand up. So I would do toast sparkling champagne. I know Total Wine has it. And then Natalie's Juice is one of our favorite juice brands. It's organic. It's very low in sugar. So you can still have a really fun mimosa bar without the alcohol content.
Yep.
And that would be a big crowd pleaser to take somewhere. And then I have not tried these, but I've seen them online, have not been able to find them in store locally. So if you've tried them, I would love to know your feedback. Waterloo has sparkling water has come out with mocktail in a can, and they have a rosé option, a pina colada, and a mojito.
Ooh, that sounds good. And that's so easy to take.
So easy. And then one of my personal favorites. So I love a Moscow Mule, alcoholic, non-alcoholic. For those of you that don't know, because I've had a lot of people ask me this before, ginger beer does not have alcohol in it, which is a little confusing, but it does not have alcohol in it. However, ginger beer is very high in calories because it's very high in sugar. So that's always been something that I've been a little self-conscious about when I have drank mules. Like, I try not to drink a lot of them just because the sugar content is so high. So I actually just found this at Trader Joe's within the last like month. Reed's is the brand. It's R-E-E-D-S. And they have come out with a zero sugar ginger beer. I bought some and it's great. It kind of just tastes like a diet ginger ale, honestly.
Okay.
And those are canned. So that could be a really good option to take with like some fresh mint and a lime, and you could make faux mules.
Still gives you that mule taste.
And then something that we actually bought to try on this episode that we're so excited about. Just pick these up at Total Wine. White Claw has come out with a 0% non-alcoholic seltzer. It's a variety pack, and it has electrolytes in it.
The OG of the seltzers.
So we are super excited. We're actually going to do a little taste test live with you guys. So we really feel like you, Brandy and I really talked extensively about this, and kind of adding into the football tailgates, it's also really, really, really hot to start tailgating this time of year.
Those electrolytes will be well used.
If you're not drinking, you have to be really careful about being out in this heat. It can really affect you. We've seen a ton of people pass out at tailgates because of the heat. So even if you are drinking, this would be a really good option to sub in because it does have those electrolytes in them. So something that's a little bit healthier that will keep you hydrated.
I'm so excited.
So let's go over the flavors.
Okay. What you got?
Okay, so this first one it's mango passion fruit. So each one of these flavors, they're very similar to the original White Claw flavors, but they're like a dual flavor. So this one's a mango passion fruit. It's got hydrating electrolytes, and every can is only 15 calories.
And, that was a good pop.
That's a good pop.
And the can looks exactly like a regular like White Claw.
So, I mean, you know, being sober and not drinking and mocktails have really become a big thing. Yeah. But if for some reason you like didn't want people to know, you could put a koozie on this and it would look just like a White Claw.
Or if you want to switch back and forth, if you want to have a White Claw, a regular White Claw, and then hydrate with this.
It tastes just like a mango White Claw. I'm so impressed.
Oh, it tastes. Yeah, it tastes exactly like it. Oh. Wow. That is so crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Mm-hmm.
That is wild. And the cans are really fun too. They look just like a White Claw, but they are, and we'll post a picture of these and link them in the show notes. But the cans are bright blue, which is super fun too.
I like that.
Okay. So this next one is lime.
That's the real OG.
The lime is the real OG, which I personally love a good cold lime White Claw.
Same.
Again, it tastes just like a White Claw. And that one, I feel like, especially because it's got the electrolytes in it, kind of tastes like a lemon lime Gatorade.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad about it.
Yeah. But like a seltzer version.
Like a seltzer version.
Yeah.
Oh, I want another sip of that one. That was good.
That
is very good.
Big fan of these, I will say. This one is black cherry cranberry.
I did not like black cherry flavored anything for a while. And then I really got into them a few years ago. And I love cranberry seltzers. Like High Noon has a cranberry seltzer and I really like. So I'm excited about this flavor.
Oh, that's a good one too. I can't really taste the cranberry.
Okay.
The black cherry is pretty strong, but I mean, it's good.
Yeah, you can't really taste the cranberry, but it tastes just like a black. They have done a very good job at keeping these flavors like
on point.
Very similar.
Yeah, honestly, if we did like a blind taste test of like the alcohol.
Yeah, I don't know that I could tell the difference.
And this one is the last one. Ooh, this is peach and orange blossom.
Oh. That's a good little twist.
That one's good. Yeah, again, tastes very similar.
I do like anything peach. I don't know that I've had a peach. Do they have peach White Claws?
I know they have peach other things.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that one's good.
I like that one. And again, kind of similar. I didn't taste the cranberry. I don't really taste the orange blossom, but I taste the peach. Same. Yeah, that's good. I mean, really, if you wanted to like really make a mocktail out of these, I feel like you could put fresh fruit in it.
For sure.
Frozen fruit. As you know, as a substitute for ice would be great. Yeah. Oh man, now I feel like I need to taste them again. I feel like...
What's your favorite White Claw?
Originally?
Yeah.
Blackberry. I really like all of them. I feel like I would say the lime is the one I feel like I could drink probably the most of.
Same.
I like very mild flavor things.
Yeah.
I would say between the two, the lime is probably my favorite and then peach probably after that. Like I think I would rate them lime, peach, black cherry, mango.
Okay. Yeah, lime is definitely my favorite. I will say, so I don't like mango seltzers, like just White Claws in general. However, that one is really good. My second favorite is probably the black cherry, but they're all very good. Go try them.
Props to White Claw for making these, honestly. Like, I think that this is such a good idea and so needed. We are very impressed with these. We'll definitely be taking them to football parties and tailgates. And like I said, great option if you're just not drinking in general for whatever personal reason that is. Yeah. Or if you are drinking, great substitution to keep you hydrated in between.
Sure.
And it's something very easy to take with you too. It comes in a 12 pack, just like a White Claw does. Yeah. I literally did curbside pickup at Total Wine. It couldn't have been easier. We're really excited. If you guys don't follow us on any form of socials, we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok, and we just got our YouTube channel up and running so that we can also put our podcast audios on our YouTube channel as well. So we're going to start posting some reels and things. So make sure you go follow us on all the platforms. And all right, I'm going to go decorate now.
Yep. Happy fall, y'all.